Welcome back in. Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We're really good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, let's just start with the Super Bowl. Kansas City gets it done. They win their second title in the last 4 years, title number two for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. What does that win, in your mind, do for the legacy conversation with both Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as they try to move forward and keep this thing going?
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes, I think he's on track with, you know, everything we expected of him early on. It was funny because that night I thought, at this rate, he doesn't really – I try to find who his rival is in the NFL, and it's like Brady and time. There's no other quarterback. I know a lot of people want to stack up Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or whoever else, but the reality is in the short amount of time that he's been a starter in the NFL – he's off to, you know, a beginning that, I mean, it's of historic proportions. And you sit there and you go, okay, well, how long is he going to be paired with Andy Reid? What's the team around him going to look like? It just feels like he's accomplished everything he could at this point. I remember when Tiger Woods, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Tiger Woods started golfing, and you thought after the first 3 or 4 years, you're like, it's Jack Nicklaus. Like, that's who his rival really is at this point. And I think with Patrick Mahomes, it's, you know, how long can he do this? How long does he want to do this? The Chiefs kind of have the responsibility to continue to build the team around him because, I mean, right now they have an asset that there's no other comparable player, I think, in the NFL. And you know, in a weird way, now that Brady's kind of out of the – well, not kind of out of the picture. He's definitely out of the picture for the NFL. They're blessed with a player who takes that baton, and I think the league can build around from an advertising standpoint, you know, moving forward. So I don't know. It's phenomenal to sort of see what he's been able to accomplish. And, you know, Andy Reid, the retirement thing was weird. I never understood where that really came from because – I don't know what Andy Reid would do at this point. I mean, he's going to stick around as long as he possibly can. It'd be crazy for him to leave now that he has this situation and this quarterback. And that made zero sense to me. Andy Reid doesn't have any other passion other than the Chiefs and by his own admission, cheeseburgers. Like, that's it.
Sticking with the Chiefs, does it make sense for Eric Bieniemy to say go to a Washington and call plays? And seriously, like, what the heck is up with Eric Bieniemy being unable to get a head coaching job?
I don't know, but like what kind of situation is this where it's like, hey, so we know you want a head coaching job, so to get that, you have to go to a terrible situation. Go to Washington. And then maybe you could get a head coaching job in the NFL. I'm like, what did this dude do? Like, what? I can't figure it out. And it's really not funny because when you talk to the other teams and I say, like, what is it? You hear, you know, we've heard the whole multitude of, you know, a million different things, all these different excuses. Well, you know, the interview's not great. You know, he's just not a good personality fit with different owners. Oh, he's got this, you know, a 30-year-old assault on like that happened, you know, in 1993. It's just stuff where you're like, come on, what are we doing here? And then you talk about the play calling, you know, situation, and yet we stare at Kansas City and we go, okay, well, Doug Peterson came out of there, didn't call plays. Matt Nagy came out of there, didn't call plays. They got head coaching jobs. There are other outside of, if you want to move it beyond Kansas City, there are other candidates in the NFL who got head coaching jobs without calling plays at their previous destination. Zach Taylor, Kevin O'Connell, out of LA. It's just at this point, I wish I could say hey, there's all these excuses, but here's this one thing. There's this one fundamental problem that's keeping Eric Bieniemy from getting a job, and I just can't get a team to say it, and it's driving me crazy. And I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of people are in the same position. And but the Washington, having to go to Washington, you know, to earn yourself a head coaching job is, I don't know who else we've looked at and said, yeah, go to this completely dysfunctional situation. You haven't done enough, you know, winning a couple Super Bowls, having Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid support you in a head coaching bid, and yet you have to go somewhere else where you're virtually, I mean, if recent history is any indication, you're virtually certain to fail in Washington, but go there and then maybe you can get a head coaching job. It's bizarre. It's just, I think it's almost unprecedented at this point in the NFL. And yet, despite all the people staring at this, I've yet to hear one person go, okay, this is exactly why this is happening to Eric Bieniemy. I feel like there's something there. It's just so far, no one's been able to get to it.
Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rex. So Charles, I'm just curious. We've talked to you a lot about the Rodgers thing to this point. He's going into the darkness, maybe as soon as today, later this week, who knows when it'll be. And when he comes out,
don't report it. Yeah, you don't want to be the next person that he's like, you know, fake news and I'm not even in the dark yet. And like, come on. This, like, I'll let you go ahead, shoot, ask the question, but my God, like, Tennessee Titans fans, like, I don't even care at this point. I'm going to say it. Like, why? Why do you want to deal with this guy? Like, nobody wants to deal with this guy anymore. The Packers don't want to deal with him. He is so high maintenance, and there's just so much crap tied to him that I mean, you better win the Super Bowl. Whoever's going to get him, like, if he does get traded and there's every chance that he comes out of the dark and decides, no, I want to stay or I want to retire, whatever hallucination steers him toward his destination, why? Like, it's so insane to me, and the Packers are beyond sympathetic at this stage dealing with just the ridiculousness. And I am not alone on this side of the fence in saying that once he is gone, no one on this side of the fence is going to cry about not being able to cover Aaron Rodgers anymore. I've, like, had it. But go ahead and ask your question.
Well, to that point, I mean, I'm kind of tired of all that other stuff too. My question was simply going to be, like, if Charles Robinson is viewing this situation, what situation do you think makes the most sense for him in terms of a team for next year?
Stay in Green Bay and make $60 million. I mean, like, wherever he goes, if it's not in Green Bay, and I think you can, like, just check in with Packers fans. They're sick of it too. I mean, like, half the fan base can't stand the guy anymore and just wants to just be done with all the drama and crap and nonstop look at me storyline that, you know, as much as Aaron Rodgers doesn't want people looking at him and, you know, oh, it's fake news and all this crap, the guy spends a massive amount of time making sure that attention is focused on him, you know, which is fine, whatever. Everybody's got their own thing. Cool, enjoy it, but let's not lie about it. And if he goes, let's say it's the Jets, right? Because ownership, Woody Johnson is absolutely infatuated with the idea of Aaron Rodgers coming in and them having this, you know, Super Bowl window right now, and that they're going to kick it into gear in 2023, maybe 2024, and win a Super Bowl with this guy. Yeah, maybe. I mean, we'll see. I don't, like, last year is not a great indication of what Aaron Rodgers does when chemistry isn't perfect. Davante Adams goes out the window, takes him the course of the season to start to, you know, vibe with some of the younger wide receivers. I think you mix it up and you throw him in New York. It makes sense from a fit standpoint in terms of, hey, they need a quarterback, but how easy is that transition going to be? I know Nathaniel Hackett's the OC there. Okay, well, I mean, you know, that's great. I mean, you got somebody who's familiar with them, maybe gets the keys to the offense, but I don't think there's this guarantee that he goes to New York or You know, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders with Josh McDaniels, and it's a smooth transition. And I'm very curious to see what another media corps, you know, having to deal with him, what that experience would be like. The Jets, that's a beat that just eats players alive. And I mean, with all due respect to the Packers beat, like they have great reporters on that beat. There's no doubt, but it takes about two games for the honeymoon to wear off in New York for anybody. And I'd like to see him go in New York and see what that looks like. He thinks he gets covered now in a way that bothers him. Yeah, go to New York, see what that's like, because you'll be literally tossed by midseason if you're not on a track to win a Super Bowl.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Joe Rex Road, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, for the record, Charles, I am signing up for Aaron Rodgers and all the hallucinogens and cigarettes that would come with it. But hey, that's just me.
Joe, do you want the floor right now after that rant?
Just saying, like, there is an upside here. There is an upside, especially if you're in media. But
listen, I get it. There is an upside to Rodgers, but like it's I don't know. Again, it's remarkable to me that we're all sitting there and we're like, okay, well, he's got to go on this 4-day darkness retreat to figure out if he wants to play football. Should be alarming. Most other players, you know, we would probably rip him for that. Not that he has him to rip, but if you just kind of turn the tables on him and the Packers were like, hey, we need 4 days in the dark to figure out if we want to continue on with you, he would lose his mind. He gets so offended by the most normalized football situations on earth. He's pissed off that the Packers right now aren't just like, hey, guess what? You know, all the old guys in the roster that are your friends, we're going to, you know, we're actually going to stop and consider whether or not we want to continue on this track with all these individuals, or if we want to actually, you know, kind of churn things and get younger on the rock. And he's like so upset about that. I get it, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep going in on this guy, but it's just,
I'm all for this. Keep
going. Continual thing, man. Go ahead.
I feel like you need a darkness retreat to forgive Aaron Rodgers for all his transgressions.
I need a dark, I need Aaron Rodgers' darkness forever. Like, I need, like, just end it enough already, please.
Well, whether the Titans actually have interest at all in that or not, there is, you know, I mean, I think we all think here in Nashville that it's overwhelmingly likely that Ryan Tannehill's back as quarterback. But the Jets, you mentioned, yes, the teams that don't, that are in on Rodgers, that don't get him. I mean, to me, if I'm looking around the league, I know Derek Carr, he heads the list of available quarterbacks, but I would think that Ryan Tannehill might be attractive to some teams. Like, we've talked about the Jets here, in fact, you know, like, could they be? Yeah. Of course, Downing is there now. What do you think the market is for him, potentially, if the Titans were looking to deal Ryan Tannehill?
Well, he's a bridge. I mean, he's a bridge quarterback, but I do think that there's value there in Ryan Tannehill elsewhere because of the reality of what you would be signing up for if you're a team like the Jets. And, you know, here's the thing about Carr. It's funny because I talked to somebody on their staff about Carr, and I don't know that he necessarily fits not only the template of what they necessarily want to do on offense, but also they're like, hey, you know, we're playing outside. It's not like it gets cold here. Like, they're basically staring at Carr and they're going, I don't know that he fits really the conditions here, what it looks like in December and January. I don't know what it is, but I don't think he's as high on their list as I think some people assume. They look at quarterback openings and they want a slot Carr there, and he's probably a little further down the list than I think people might expect. So with the Jets, I think Woody Johnson would love to trade for Aaron Rodgers, would absolutely be all in if he was to come back from this, you know, darkness retreat and say, hey, look, I'm ready to go. And, you know, the Jets are a place that's attractive to me. I think once you get past him, if he comes off the table, then it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Again, there's ties there. There's familiarity. He's someone that Saleh thinks very highly of. But I actually think that Tannehill is probably third. If you look at what they'd be looking for, the bridge quarterback situation they would want to create. And they're not out on Zach Wilson. People need to understand that the general manager there, Joe Douglas, wants to be able to give Zach Wilson another opportunity to potentially take that quarterback job back. But I think he also wants to have at least a veteran in-house who's capable of leading the team if Wilson can't. And I think Tannehill is someone who fits that scenario, knowing that, okay, we'd be bringing him in. It gives us he's going to be, 35 when the season starts next year, at least a 1 or 2 year window to work with as we move forward. I would liken it to when the Colts traded for Matt Ryan, and I would also look at that compensation. When the Colts traded for Matt Ryan, they thought, we're acquiring a player that gives us a 1 to 2, and if we're really lucky, maybe a 3 year window to work with at quarterback. We're going to give up a third round pick for the guy. That's probably a little rich for Ryan Tannehill, but again, I would stare at the Matt Ryan trade to the Colts. I think, you know, Tannehill does have modest value to the Jets if they get to that point where, you know, Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers aren't on the table. The one thing I would say, though, too, knowing Joe Douglas's history, knowing some of the past trade offers he's made, he tries to acquire on the cheap. And I don't mean that in like a negative way. He's not going to offer you your top offer for a Tannehill. I think for Rodgers, if they offer a first round pick for Rodgers, that's ownership pushing it. But I think if they get down to Tannehill, you know, Douglas is probably going to come in and say, hey, we'll give you a fifth. The Titans like, no, we're not going to take a fifth. To me, could I see it being like a fourth and something else? Yeah, that seems more likely to me than the third that Indianapolis gave up for Matt Ryan. But if you're just talking about the value and the past trades that we've seen that kind of set the table, I think that third rounder that Indianapolis dealt for Matt Ryan is probably this. If I was the Titans, that would be my starting point and say, hey, this is what this guy was worth. Let's try and get as close to this compensation as possible.
Charles, now that Brady has retired, what do you think the plan is for Tampa Bay as they try to move on in the aftermath of Brady? With that division being as bad as it is, do you think they try to keep going? Is Kyle Trask the guy? Do they go for a reset? And if they do reset, what do you think that means for guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin?
Well, it's low-key one of the bigger stories, I think, going into the combine because, you know, no one knows for certain where Tampa Bay is at this point. And when I say no one, I mean agents are sitting there going like, okay, we need to know, you know, is this a reset? And if it is, because there's a few, they have some defensive free agents that right now I think they have to make a decision whether or not they want to re-sign them. I think they have, when you look at their salary scale, they could make a decision with a couple older guys on the roster. And Mike Evans is one that I think the trade, the possibility of him being traded, it's there. And I think that's what some teams are staring at when the combine rolls around at the end of this month, in the beginning of March, is checking in with Tampa and just saying, what's the availability here? What do you want to do with your team? And could Mike Evans potentially get dealt? Godwin, I think, is still a piece they feel good about. But, you know, for the right offer. I don't think, if, especially if it's a reset, and we're going to find out, I think, within the next 2 weeks. If it's a reset, both Godwin and Evans could be dealt. There's no question.
Yeah, and of course, we've talked about that, Charles, here, in, just in terms of the Titans situation, because obviously they badly need, you know, they badly need a lot of help on offense, in particular offensive line, of course, but also at receiver. How do you view, and I may be pushing you, I know, you know, the combine's still a couple weeks away, but is the free agent slash draft receiver market situation as bad as it looks to me at initial glance here? It looks like it just, yeah, this is a bad year.
Yeah, it is. It's not a great year. I actually talked to somebody when I was at the Senior Bowl about the draft, and he was like, not a good draft. He's just like, it's a really mediocre draft. And you know, he literally said to me, like, we're looking at it, the strength is in the tight ends. They're like, that's not a good sign. you know, wide receiver, I asked him about the wide receiver. He said, look, we had bumper crop classes for a couple of years in a row. It's a little bit of a down year. I'll give you a good example. There's a slot kid. I lose my mind here because I literally live in Houston. But there's a Houston wide receiver lit it up, right, at the combine. I would love to. I his name is not on the top of my head right now, but you're basically talking about a kid that played at Houston in the like 150s, right? Lit it up at the combine. You talk to teams, or excuse me, lit it up at the Senior Bowl. You talk to teams, and they're like, we don't know what we do with them. Like, can you know, realistically, like, what can we do with a receiver who's probably going to play tops 160 in the NFL? And that's, I think it's a little bit indicative of, you know, teams scrounging for what, you know, whatever they could get at the position. I think you bring up the Buccaneers. There's a reason why Godwin and Evans would have, you know, value on the market in terms of a potential trade. It's because there's just not a ton there, you know, when it comes to this NFL draft. And overall, I think it's, you know, again, I think it's a mediocre NFL draft. Now, as we get closer, let's let the process play itself out. You know, I'll be 100% with you guys. It's, what, mid-February right now. I have not done as much work on the NFL draft as what's required. A lot of that will all get done in the next couple of weeks, and there's a lot of traction to be had, obviously, at the NFL Combine. But I think the early reviews are, Joe, you're right. I mean, it's not, you stare at free agency and you stare at the draft, and it's a much more attractive market in terms of potential trade pieces, and that's why I think, you know, teams want to know what the Buccaneers are doing.
That's Tank Dell, by the way, which is a hilarious name,
yeah,
for a 160-pound
Dell,
guy.
Yes. Yeah. I apologize. Yeah, Tank Dell. I should know that, too, because, I mean, I live in Houston. Like, it's, you know, again, it should be a name off the top of my head, but it's that. But he's a player who, you know, there was a ton of difficulty, you know, containing him in Senior Bowl practices. And yet teams are sitting there going, well, I don't even remember what his weight, I think, was literally listed, you know, during the season in the 160, 170 range. And I talked to, you know, some teams, they're like, nah, he played in the 150s. And that's probably, you know, at best with strength and conditioning, maybe you get him over 160 in the NFL. They're like, find a comp who's playing and really, you know, lighting it up in the NFL, you know, in at between 160 and 165. They're like, there's not many comps there for him. But that was a player that people were really excited about, the Senior Bowl at the wide receiver position. And like I said, I think it's a little indicative of, you know, if you're the Titans, you want to make sure you scour the trade market for players that are potentially going to get offloaded that are a little longer in the tooth.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30. Charles, great stuff as always. We look forward to Rodgers emerging from his darkness retreat so we can talk about him again next week too. Be fun.
All right. I look forward to it. You know I do. You can tell by my by my excitement in my voice that we'll talk. Well, hey, at least hopefully this time next week, we will have an idea of what Aaron Rodgers is doing. And if not, I mean, that's the most Rodgers thing ever for him to come out and go, yeah, I still don't know. So why don't y'all just wait?
That's right. Thanks, Charles. We appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rexrub. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. And I got to say, I'm starting to talk myself into a Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. We'll talk more about that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Charles Robinson for being with us in the last couple of segments. He joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30. Brett on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I haven't heard Charles Robinson much, but he's quickly moved up my list of favorites after hearing his Rodgers rant. This is from Brett on the text line.
Charles should be on everybody's list of favorites who likes the NFL. But man, I must say, I sense a little bit of frustration with Aaron Rodgers. My goodness, Charles.
He was all in.
Yeah. Do you agree with him that he said half the fan base is out on Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers? Is that accurate?
I don't know if it's half, but it's pretty close. Like, I think more than anything, people are just tired of this stuff. Like, they're tired of the every year of, oh my gosh, do I want to play? Do I not? Do we have to keep like every one of your friends that are 48 years old on the team and aren't productive? Like, why does that have to happen? I think they're tired of all that. Like, I think everybody knows that if the Packers have any chance of winning a Super Bowl, he's going to have to be the quarterback of it. But they also know that at some point, you keep trying the same things over and over again and expecting a different result, probably not going to happen.
Yeah, and you have MVP seasons, and you don't get it done in the playoffs. I mean, 2 years in a row, I thought they were going. I'm sure you did too. Sorry to bring that up.
Thanks. Painful times.
Yes, I'm sorry. But, you know, there's more confirmation there, and that's really interesting, too, because there were some other receivers at the Senior Bowl who came in with, you know, with some hope, some attention, and it sounds like it was, you know, somewhat underwhelming on the receiver front, which just hammers at home. It's like you have this combination of free agent and draft class at that position that's just not very good. Yeah. So the trade scenario – really might be the one thing that the Titans can do to really upgrade for 2023 at that position.
Well, and you know, the Tampa part of it's interesting. I mean, honestly, I hadn't really thought about it until the other day when I started to just look at the quarterback situation. I was like, huh, the NFC South is terrible. Right now, I guess Kyle Trask is your quarterback for Tampa Bay. We'll see if that's the way they decide to go with things or not, or if they move and try to make a move either in the draft or to go get a free agent. But, like, I have no idea what direction Tampa's going to try to go here. But if they do go the reset, like Charles said, I mean, I would assume, like, if you're Mike Evans and Chris Godwin at this stage of their career, you probably don't really want to be a part of that. Like, I'm starting to talk myself into the Mike Evans and Chris Godwin sweepstakes, Joe. I'll be honest.
Yeah, well, and so you could go through, and I'm going to do it right now. We've talked with the Titans as we go through all the different scenarios many times about the Fink and about the 2024 quarterbacks in particular. Now, I know TD, I mean, TD's talking Patrick Mahomes when he talks about Caleb Williams. That's lofty, you know, but he puts Caleb Williams kind of on an island. I know some people think, and I've watched enough Caleb Williams and Drake May to think that, like, they both could be, I think you could make the case that both are stronger prospects than anyone coming out this year at quarterback, obviously way better than anybody last year. So you go around the league, how many teams have to at least be thinking about it, right? I mean, tons of them in the NFC. You know, the Saints making a play for Carr right now, and they could win it next year. But every single one of those teams in the NFC South, could, you know, has got to be at least thinking about the idea of, okay, what if we're in position to take one of those guys next year? I mean, go through the whole NFC, more NFC teams than not, or at least, I mean, even like you look at like a team like the Rams. I know like Stafford's coming back, but how long is that going? There's just a ton, and there's some in the AFC too. So, point being, you know, the Bucs with those guys, if they want to do it and say, you know what, a year of pain, but then we've got our long-term guy. Well, that's an obvious part of it, right? Get draft capital for, you know, one or both of those receivers. I mean, I think both of them, but I'm with you. To me, Evans is the more attractive of the two. I mean, Godwin has been so banged up of late, but I think that, you know, if that's how they're thinking about it, they can get a haul.
Well, I can tell you, like, look, Godwin's 26, right? So the age lines up, but I can tell you, like, let's say in this hypothetical world, the Titans would go out and to acquire Chris Godwin. I mean, we'd have calls left and right about, like, I can't believe the Titans just went out and got a wide receiver that's been hurt for the past 2 years. Like, that's all we'd be talking about.
Right. Yeah, understandably so. I mean, it is a different GM now. So, he, you know, it's not like if it was John Robinson still, I'd be like, oh, my God! You know? But it's also, I mean, Vrabel had some input before. And, I think that's just going to scare teams off anyway. But, I mean, Mike Evans, I think about just the size, physicality aspect of your receiving core if you had Mike Evans and Treylon Burks together.
Mike Evans Blackwell?
I don't know. I can't tell you. I would think he would, but by golly, he will if he comes here.
That's right. Will from Nashville says, what do y'all think of Quentin Johnston? Like, I've watched him play, obviously. There's just based on the things that I read from the draft gurus, there are conflicting reports on exactly how good people think he's going to be. Like, he's going to go in the first round, but there are conflicting reports of how good people think he might be.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's like, yeah, just right now, and like Charles said, there's still more to, you know, we're going to see people run and all that stuff, but I think he is definitely a potential first round receiver, but like you compare this group to like the last couple of years, it's weird to have that, but you just randomly have stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
In a given year. That's really interesting that he heard at the Senior Bowl, like basically just overall, like it's a bad draft. Someone on the text line says, talk of moving a Conquo to wide receiver, measurables and style nearly identical to AJ Brown. No, he's a tight end. I mean, you can look at the numbers or whatever. He doesn't have the change of direction or anything. Like, he's not a receiver. I mean, he needs to get bigger, stronger, be a better blocking tight end, and then continue to be a mismatch at tight end.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds taking on the Bruins tonight. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action, taking on the Boston Bruins tonight. A quick standings update in the competition. And I got to be honest, there is some separation that's starting to take place in this competition. I am on an absolute heater right now. I'm up to 14 correct answers in first place. The listeners are in second place with 11, Joe with 9, and Michelle with 7. So
Robbie's doubled me.
Your boy Robbie Stanley is starting to get on a heater in the competition here. We'll see if I can keep things rolling here today. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brad. Brad, thanks for calling in to Preds Pick to Click. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
I think Duchesne's going to score tonight.
We're going with Matt Duchesne. Brad, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So Duchesne is off the board. I am up first in the competition today, following Brad. And as Joe Retro shakes his head in disgust.
I'm selling at the deadline. I'm selling.
Just selling at the
Me
deadline.
Me too.
You know, Forsberg's out. This one's tough. I took a flyer on Yossi the other day, and he came through. Nice one-timer from the point. I'm going to go, you know what? I'm doing it. I've been calling for him all year. Why not now? I'm going Philip Tomasino. Give me Philip Tomasino. Ooh. Here in Preds Pick to Click. Duchesne and Tomasino off the board. Joe Rexroad, you're up next.
Wow. See, the thing is, I could thank you for, you know, leaving more obvious choices on the board, but this guarantees that Tomasino will actually score. Well, David Poile told us that Philip Forsberg will not be playing tonight. So that's not a consideration. Man, I feel like the last several times I've gone with Nino Niederreiter, he has not come through. I feel like I'm jinxing him. Can I just keep talking through this and not make a pick?
Maybe an off the wall pick.
Yeah. I know. I mean, Cole Smith he's on the doorstep, man. Let me go with Ryan Johansson.
Ryan Johansson.
With a big exhale.
That may have been the most difficult pick Rexroad has ever made. Ryan Johansson is what he lands on. Duchesne, Tomasino, and Johansson off the board. Michelle Knezovic, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Going around in circles, and I, in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick Joey. And then out of everyone, you choose him. But my second option, I'm going to go with Cody Glass tonight. I think he gets one, finds one in the back of the net.
So Cody Glass. So the selections in Preds Pick to Click, Duchesne, Tomasino, Johansson, and Glass are the selections tonight for Preds Pick to Click. So the Preds taking on the Bruins. Joe, we had Dan Hynote on earlier to discuss the game. This is a big one for the Predators tonight. They're all big from here on out moving forward. This one a little bit different, though, just in terms of the quality of the challenge. You're talking about a team that's 48-5, and, you know, they're not unstoppable, but they're pretty darn good. 48-5 at this point in a season is ridiculous. They've got a points percentage of .802. They're plus +81 in the goal differential part of this, too. So you're talking about the best team in the league. I don't even think it's really arguable right now that the Predators are playing tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. I mean, and this is, you know, they were supposed to be good this year. I mean, I saw some preseason predictions that didn't have Boston in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of tells you. I mean, and it's that's, you know, the thing with Boston, of course, is like they've gone through these ups and downs and sort of these resets or whatever you want to call them. But when you have the core they have, then, you know, it's just a totally different deal. They have an elite core. And I can guarantee you right now, in fact, I would put money right now on Boston not even making the conference finals in the playoffs based on this regular season, right? Like, I feel good about that. Yeah, I mean, that's the Stanley Cup playoffs for you, right? Sure. But on a nightly basis, they are something to behold. And this is a real, you know, the Preds, I fully expect the Preds to embrace this and to, you know, come with the best they can muster for this matchup. But what is the best they can muster right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, look, we know what Marchand brings to the table. Pastrnak has 39 goals in 53 games. I mean, he's been an absolute freak this year, 74 points. You know, they had David Krejci retire for a year and go play over in Europe, and all of a sudden he's just come back at his age and has 43 points in 48 games. He'd be the leading scorer on the Predators. I mean, it's unbelievable what they've got going on. And then there's Patrice Bergeron, who just is – rock solid at everything he does out there. So this is a huge challenge for the Predators tonight. Now, obviously, Joe, I mean, this is going to be a difficult game for them to win. I mean, let's just call it how it is. This is going to be a difficult game for them to win. They're going to have UC Saros playing at his top level. If you get the win, then maybe this is something, as Dan Hynote pointed out earlier, that can help propel you as you move forward. If you don't, then all of a sudden you're staring down the barrel of a big game on Saturday against Florida, a game at Minnesota on Sunday, and with your playoff chances with each loss getting worse and worse as you progress here.
Yeah, and you have to compensate for just the bad loss. You can't lose Arizona, and you did. So if you told me these two games, said the Preds come out with 2 points, okay. Yeah, that's probably what I would have expected. So now you have to get them in this one because you didn't get them in the last one. I would assume, you tell me, I would probably expect back to Lankinen for Florida, and then you have Saros a little extra rest and that huge one at Minnesota, because obviously that's the 4-point game, as they call them, on Sunday.
I would assume that's probably so too. I also wonder if you're getting close to the point, if you're the Predators and John Hines, where you say, well, we might have to go Saros with both. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. I think at some point you get to that situation. That's the thing, though. It's like, I mean, you could make the case that Lankinen's been their second best player this year after Saros.
Right. Like, it's not like Lankinen's been like, let me put it to you this way. If they had Riddick in goal, then it's a no-brainer for me. Saros is starting both this weekend. Like, he just did. Yeah. That's where they're at in the standings. I do think Lincoln has played really well. I know he gave up 4 last time he was in there. I don't really put a lot of that on him. It just kind of is the way it went. You feel any better about the Arizona loss since they shut out Tampa Bay last night and won 1-0 in a shootout and Connor Ingram had 47 saves?
Well, that's, first of all, that's amazing. And someone put that on our text line. Good for him, first of all. I heard Willie talking about this the other day, and that's the thing. It's like, I mean, look, if you look at what Arizona has done lately, they've been locking people down. They've been playing tremendously well. And you see this sometimes late in the season, a team that's just in a tank, but they're like, hey, let's go make life hell for other people, you know?
Yeah.
But all that said, you can't let them do it to you. You can't let them do it to you in the position that you have put yourself in now.
Big one coming up for the Preds tonight. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.